In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And once again, this podcast is primarily focused on people who are making a difference in the world and making it a better world and with more harmony. And today, our guest is Jake Dresden. And Jake Dresden is involved with an organization called A Little Help. Jake has been involved with the organization for about 10 years and has been the Denver District Director for almost 3 years. So, Jake, welcome.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to chatting about A Little Help and informing your listeners more about what we do and how we do it, and hopefully encouraging them to engage with us in whatever way, shape, or form sounds good to them.
Absolutely. No question about it, because that's what our listeners are all about, is wanting to make this a better world. So let's go through your organization to make that happen. So, Jake, tell us a little bit about what is A Little Help and how did it get started?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a reformed history teacher, Tom. So if I can't tell a story, then that's a problem for me. So A Little Help is a Colorado-based nonprofit that's been around for over 17 years. We started in the Washington Park neighborhood of Denver, where I'm actually coming to you from right now. And it was originally called Wash Park Cares. And it was just a little grassroots organization of neighbors who saw a need, and the need was to help older adults in their community stay in their homes by providing sort of essential tasks, and in the process sort of building community and relationships. And A Little Help has evolved over time to serve kind of three distinct areas in Colorado, and serve over close to 2,000 older adults through volunteerism. And so that's kind of the background. I will say as well, we don't take full credit for coming up with this idea. It came or was born out of what's called the Village Movement. And the Village Movement is a national movement and consortium of organizations like ourselves that are dedicated to helping older adults through connecting them with volunteers. There are villages in every state, and people can look it up. There's a website and a map that can show you where those villages are located, and you can find out more about them. But by all accounts, A Little Help is by far the largest of these villages, and lots of people come to us to kind of figure out how to do it and what we do, and we're happy to share like what we're doing right now.
That's fabulous. Is your organization primarily or completely made up of volunteers?
Yeah, so all of the tasks that get done for our older adults, and we'll talk a little bit more about what those tasks are completed by our volunteers that are part of our organization. And we'll talk, I think, a little bit more about volunteering itself, but our volunteers are background checked and trained. And once that happens and they filled out an application and everything looks good, they're able to go out and sort of pick up requests in their neighborhoods and do that as much or as little as they want. You know, staff occasionally will pick up some things, but that's not the primary objective of how this works. So,
well, what are some of the tasks that you complete for the older adults?
Yeah, so we, you know, when we were born, we were originally called Wash Park Cares, and then we became A Little Help, and that was for a reason, because we pick up tasks that we think volunteers are willing and capable of doing. So our menu of requests, kind of the main things that we do, would be to provide transportation. As you can imagine, a lot of older adults may not be driving anymore, or may not want to navigate the kind of treacherous roads in Colorado with all the traffic. And so our volunteers will take them to doctor's appointments, take them to get their hair cut, take them to the grocery store, you know, take them to the movies, all sorts of things. So transportation is a big thing that we provide. We provide lots of help inside and outside the house, yard work being something that's really important for our older adults. Many of them can't do all the things that they used to do. So we send out individuals and teams and groups to do raking and weeding and window washing and gutter cleaning, all things that are pretty low tech. We don't ask people to operate a backhoe or a chainsaw. Mm-hmm. And so that's good. We do indoor work, which includes sort of organizing and light housekeeping. We do tech support. We do dog walking. We do yearly snow shoveling. Wow. And we have a whole program, which I think is actually kind of our most important thing that we do, called care calls and visits, where older adult members can call in and say, hey, I'd like a little bit of companionship, either over the phone or in person. Our volunteers will provide that and make calls or visits. And some of those relationships get started and then go on sort of in perpetuity. So that's a whole host of things that we do. We do a handful of other things, but I know we're limited with time, but that's kind of those are the main things we do.
So this is not the sort of thing you do just like once a month or every 6 weeks you organize something. It's like, this is ongoing.
Yeah. Yes. We do 15,000 services a year throughout Colorado. So at any given time, the way it works pretty much is, if you're an older adult member that signed up with us, you'd call in. So say Betty down the street needs her gutters cleaned. She'd call in and give us the details about the gutter cleaning. And then we would post that request on a portal on our website that all volunteers can look at. And then they can go in and filter by their location or what they want to do, or if it's time sensitive. And then when they find a request that they want, that they feel like they can do, they'll accept the request. We give them the member information, and that's their responsibility and obligation to call the member, initiate, get the job done, and report back to us if there's anything going on. And so that happens on a daily basis at any given time. There's 100 open requests on our website. So there's something for everybody and every location. And as a volunteer, you pick and choose what you want to do. Some people do something once a week. Some people do something once a month. Some people do something once a year. And so it's all kind of up to you. And it's my job to kind of encourage those folks to pick up requests and sort of highlight things that we really want them to consider.
Oh, that's wonderful. So therefore, you're really designed this whole thing around people's flexible schedules.
Yeah, it is incredibly important and necessary for us to make it volunteer friendly. You know, there's lots of things occupying people's times these days. And interest. And so if it's not something that they want to do, then they're probably not going to do it, since it's voluntary. And so we try to make things and create things and give them requests that they would like to do, that they can also do. You know, we have a lot of people that in our community are members as well as volunteers. So they might be receiving some service because maybe they can't snow shovel because they've got a bad hip, but they're still capable of driving people. So we try to blur the lines a lot between who's giving and receiving, because we feel like, everybody is giving and receiving in these relationships. So hopefully that, sort of answers that question a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Because that just says, I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people don't volunteer for things, because they usually want a particular schedule, or they want people to be committed to a particular time. And our schedules are so variable, typically from a day-to-day basis, that this gives us all an opportunity to look at what is available time-wise and what we can do to help.
Yeah, I would mention too, so that I've basically been talking about the whole side of a little help that's individual to individual. So like an individual volunteer would pick up an individual request. Mm-hmm. We also do lots of events that are either big community-wide events that we have one we can talk about a little more that's happening in November, where we rally hundreds of volunteers. But we also do kind of individualized events for corporate groups or schools, faith-based organizations. So if they want to get their crew together, and come out and do a half day of service, we organize those things for them as well. So there are lots of different ways to engage as a volunteer, either individually or through a group. And so we have to survive and help older adults, we have to give people options for how they do that.
That's amazing. So when you've got volunteers coming in and they're going to be working with people, especially working with the older adults, and they're going to be helping them, taking care of them in various ways. What kind of vetting do you do for the people who are going to be volunteering, not only for their own protection, but for the protection of the people who they would be serving?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I think earlier, one of the first things we do just to ensure a sort of level, standard level of safety and care is that the volunteers need to be background checked. So we ensure that they, you know, they're in it for the right reasons. They don't have a record or what have you. And then once they sort of pass that, we send out a whole menu and array of sort of training videos and documents and literature that kind of helps them understand what they might encounter and how to best serve an older adult. You know, some of the tasks that we do are much more, there's much more interaction. So if you're taking someone to a doctor's appointment, you know, you want to be sort of cognizant of how you get them into the car. And in some cases, you might even act as their advocate going into the doctor's appointment. So in that case, there's, you know, more that you might need to think about than potentially going out and just raking leaves. Not that raking leaves isn't important, but it, you know, it requires sort of a different level of expertise when sort of interacting with older adults. So we provide as much or as little as people want. And it, you know, like I said earlier, kind of depends on what they want to do. And then, you know, in some cases, you know, on a daily basis, I get a, you know, message from a volunteer that said, I had this interaction with this older adult. What would you do, you know, next time if you were sort of in this spot? So there is a lot of learning on the job too. You know, we can't sort of, you know, provide every scenario that's going to come up, but, we do our best to be as supportive as we can of volunteers in terms of, you know, helping them get started and navigate the waters of being a servant.
Wow, that's fabulous. That is really an amazing whole concept there, because it's the sort of thing that you drive by somebody's home, you don't think about them needing that kind of help. And that's pretty amazing. And I know that this is not one of the motivators for the people who would volunteer for something like this, but in essence, what's in it for the volunteers and everybody involved, you know, what are the bennies, if you will?
The bennies. Yes, the absolutely. Yeah. I think you and I talked earlier, or we've talked before the interview that, you know, I came to a little help as a volunteer originally. Mm-hmm. So before I was on staff, I was out volunteering, doing yard work, doing snow shoveling and getting a little taste of a little help for many years. So I have that unique perspective of what it's like to be a volunteer. And I think, you know, it is really important for us, as I said earlier, to blur the lines and sort of break the paradigm about giving and receiving service, that it's sort of a one-way street. Mm-hmm. We know from studies that have been done, fully vetted studies across the United States, that volunteering is good for you. It's good for your health. It's good for your self-esteem. And anybody that's done it on a regular basis and had a positive experience can attest to that. You know, it makes you feel good that you're assisting. And so the other aspect too, is that it's intergenerational, and that we don't really have a line that you have to be a particular age to volunteer. And we have lots of kids that are volunteering, my daughters included, who've been volunteering since they were almost out of diapers. And I've told the story many times that they become friends with a handful of ladies in our neighborhood that all were living in their homes and all knew each other and all made it to almost 100 years old. I think with a lot of assistance from a little help, because they were longtime members and received help and got to know people of different generations, different stripes, politically, racially. It's a very diverse community. And so we really embrace everybody joining and everybody, you know, receiving benefits from being a volunteer or being a member.
So that in itself is worth it. Because you stop and think today, I mean, that's one of the biggest complaints people have at any age, is that the other people are not communicating with them. You know, in other words, the seniors don't know how to communicate with people who are living in a technology world. The technology world, people are living in their own world of communications. And that is such a big generalization that we make. And it isn't necessarily true if you've got this kind of intergenerational work going on.
Yeah. And, you know, a little help is there to be that vehicle to provide that connection that normally wouldn't happen. You know, a 16-year-old sophomore in high school probably wouldn't have a chance to interact with someone in their 80s that might not be a family member if we weren't around. And so the ability to create that connection that's natural and build it around something, which is a task, the task is kind of the vehicle that gets them to connect, whether it's walking a dog or helping an older adult figure out how to use FaceTime on their phone so they can talk to their grandkids that are back east or what have you, or any of those things. Those are just the vehicles to provide that connection. And then we try to stay out of the way, frankly, so mm-hmm. those people can interact in whatever way they see fit. And we don't want to prevent them from having as much interaction as possible, because we know it builds stronger, healthier communities, and it's good for all involved.
Well, it sounds like you're pretty big in the Denver area. Where else are you in Colorado?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We expanded fairly organically out of the Washington Park neighborhood, and now we serve pretty much all of Metro Denver, and I'm the Metro Denver director. And we have, just so you know, have a sense of the numbers, we have about 2,200 background check volunteers in Metro Denver, which includes Jefferson County. So we're all the way to the foothills, and we're all the way up north towards what's called like North Glen and Thornton, the upper reaches of the metro area, all the way south. We do not serve El Paso County and Colorado Springs yet, but that's hopefully in the works. And then all the way out towards Aurora and the airport. So we have volunteers and members in all those spaces. But then about five-ish years ago, we expanded into northern Colorado, and we incubated in Fort Collins and birthed in Loveland. So if you're familiar with the Colorado Front Range, kind of up north, and we have a pretty robust operation up there with multiple staff there. And then we've expanded into other areas in sort of western Colorado over the years in multiple places, but are currently serving Roaring Fork Valley, which is at Glenwood Springs, which is on I-70 to Aspen. And then we also launched in Grand Junction last year and are moving throughout Delta County. And then we're going to be moving into Weld County, which is east of Fort Collins, in the near future. So plans to expand. I will say lots of communities hear about us and they say, hey, can you please bring a little help down to my neck of the woods, whether that's Gunnison or, you know, Montrose or Pueblo or Colorado Springs. And we would like to be able to just say yes and, you know, snap of our fingers, be able to go there. But there's a lot more calculus that kind of goes into a move. But I would suspect at some point, you know, we will be kind of all over the state. And it, as you know, I don't need to provide these numbers because people probably know it. Older adults are one of the fastest growing groups in Colorado. AARP says 10,000 people turn 65 every day. So there are lots of older adults. And so, you know, I gave you some of those numbers. We could add zeros to the end of those and still just be, you know, tipping the iceberg of who we're serving.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is amazing. And that's in a very short period of time when you really think about it. I mean, 17 years ago when it was just a few, you know, people working in a neighborhood, up to 10 years ago where it started to expand to where it is now. That's pretty amazing. Do you have a difficult time in any particular areas getting volunteers? And I mean, you know, like when you start going up north or further south or up to the west or east or wherever you're, whatever direction you're going, what are your challenges there?
That's a terrific question, Tom. I think, you know, now that I've been doing this for a little while, I think one of the biggest lessons learned is that every community is different, and that's a no-brainer. But to me, when we move into a new area and we try to sort of promote what we're doing, what may have worked in one area doesn't always necessarily work in another area, because, you know, resources are different, vehicles for delivery are different, geography is different. Like, for instance, you know, a lot of mountain communities, Idaho Springs and those areas, have been really beaten on my door lately to come there. And, you know, sometimes I'm getting in the weeds a little bit here too much, but it doesn't always work there because we're also based on local, sort of the local model. Mm-hmm. We don't want people driving, you know, 3 hours necessarily to provide a service, which is why we have like a map feature on our website. And so for people in Idaho Springs to have volunteers in Denver or wherever come to them, that's not a very efficient model. So we have to just kind of be very astute and cognizant of what those communities are like and how we could serve them. Maybe it's not our full model. You know, people in Evergreen don't need yard work the same way they would be in Denver. They don't have grass or this, that, or the other. So maybe we need to think about other things that they might need that we can provide fairly efficiently. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but it really is. It's all about the community and the neighborhood and what exists there and how do people function in those neighborhoods. And, you know, there's a lot of differences too in terms of what cultures are there and how they view volunteerism. So that's another conversation for another day. But those are all things we have to take into account.
So if there's anybody listening right now that is interested in getting something going locally, in other words, kind of being a coordinator somewhere out there in Never Never Land, whatever that might be, is there a way that they can find ways to get that going?
Yeah, I think that the easiest way is to reach out to me if it's a Metro Denver issue, or reach out to me either way. And if it's a different part of the state where we may or may not serve, you know, we can have that discussion. It really is just about having that discussion about what are you thinking you might do, you know, and there are lots of little pieces to the puzzle. You know, if we move into a new area, we're going to need a base of volunteers, and then we'll have to find the members that need the help. But we also need, as a nonprofit, we need to find sources of revenue and streams of funding to make sure we're up and running, because it takes a lot of staff time to kind of organize. It's a very labor intensive process, because here's another piece to it. When a member has a request, they call our office and they actually speak to a live human being, surprise, surprise, not a sort of menu of automated operators. And they say, this is kind of what I need. And oftentimes it's someone they've known before. You know, they might talk to Beth or Gayla or Jessica in our office and say, oh, this is kind of what I need. And so we can kind of work through with them what it is they need and then catalog that and kind of articulate that. So all of this goes back into, you know, if we move somewhere, we need to have staff there that know people and are able to kind of respond to their concerns and needs. You know, it'd be one thing if we just said, press one for this, and now you go to this menu and leave something in the mailbox. Yeah. And it doesn't quite work that way. We have to have the human touch. And that requires staff. And so, I would say reach out to me. I can, you know, have that conversation filter you to whomever it would be if you feel like it. But if you're in a service area already that we already serve in Metro Denver, it's just a matter of, hey, you know, if you're interested, you know, we could set up an event. We could try to recruit more volunteers. We could put the word out to members. A lot of what we do is word of mouth. And referral based, you know, we're not heavy on our marketing. We don't have a huge budget to, you know, be pumping out things all the time. So a lot of people, you know, tell their friends, either as a volunteer or a member, this is a great thing to do. So that's kind of how we rely on growth in a lot of ways.
Well, I know this may not make a lot of sense to people listening to this later on, but I know you have an event coming up at Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado, where they're letting you use their parking lot and their facilities so that you can organize. What is one of those big events like that? What does that all entail? Because rather than me tell them about it, what is the big event you're doing this fall?
Yeah. Well, the event that you're alluding to is kind of our signature event that's been around for a long time, since almost the genesis of A Little Help, and it's called Service Saturday. Service Saturday is a sort of half-day yard work event where we rally hundreds of volunteers to a location in the morning for coffee and donuts and rah-rah speeches and registration and tool checkout, and people have already kind of signed up in advance. And we kind of confirm where they're going, and then they hear from us. They get excited about A Little Help. It's a big community event, and they go out and do half day yard work, and then we have a celebratory lunch. We have those in actually all of our locations. So we typically do 6 per season. So those Service Saturdays are fall events and then spring events. And that's my introduction to A Little Help. That's the very first thing I did almost 10 years ago, was show up on a cold morning in November. And sit at a high school parking lot and, you know, get sort of the background of A Little Help. And then I went out and did yard work with my family and met some members and, you know, kind of went from there. The yard work event you're referring to, there are 2 in the Metro Denver area. We have one, as you referenced, at Mile High Church on November 5th. And if people are hearing this beforehand and want to get signed up, just head on our website and do a search for Service Saturday. And there's a registration page there. And it takes literally like a minute to register. And then we have one in Denver on the 12th that occurs at South High School in their parking lot. And that's kind of come one, come all. You know, you can come with your family, come with your coworkers, come with, you know, other students, whomever. And, you know, you create little groups and pods that go out and do these yard work requests. And it's all sort of pre-loaded. So once you sign up, you get a map and you can pick homes that fit with your location or what your group wants to do. And you kind of go from there. And so it's service oriented, but it's also sort of celebratory. So it's celebrating all the service people have done. And, you know, we have those in Fort Collins. We have those in Loveland and Berthoud. We have those in Grand Junction. And we have those in Roaring Fork. And those happen in November and again in May. So that's if you're interested, fabulous. we would love all the volunteers we could take. Currently, we have 100 homes in Denver that we have to service on that day. And we have 50 in Jefferson County. And so each home needs about 4 volunteers. So you can do the math. We need a lot of volunteers. We'd love to have people sign up for those.
That's fabulous. And in the Little Help provides most of the equipment, like the rakes and the shovels and bags and things like that. Or do people bring their own?
That's a great question. It's kind of a hybrid. We drag a trailer full of supplies to each event, and people can go over and sort of browse and say, oh, I take some Windex because I know I'm doing window washing, or I forgot my gloves. Can I borrow those? And then you return them either later that day or another time. But in many cases, a lot of the members, since they're homeowners, have accumulated tools. And then, you know, I remember as a volunteer myself, I would just head into my garage and pick out the stuff that I thought would be, you know, worthwhile. You know, I brought a little leaf blower and some bags and some weeding tools. So it's kind of a, as a Little Help is in every aspect, it's a group effort. We all sort of pitch in to make sure that the job gets done. And, you know, people go out to do these yard work events and a member might ask them to do something. And if it's not in the cards, we'll get to it at another point. It's not like all or nothing. You need to get every single thing done while you're there. It's more important, as we always say, to meet the member and connect with them, and the service, the task is kind of secondary. So
fabulous. Incredible. Yeah. So we've alluded a couple of times to how people can get in, that they should get in touch with you. I'd like to give a couple of pieces of information for us, if you would, not only how we can get in touch with you and a Little Help here locally, but you had mentioned something about there's a national organization of people who go out and do this type of help, different name. I don't remember what you said that was. Would you repeat that again?
Yeah, sure. So to answer your first question, the organization and the movement is called the Village Movement. Because each little organization like ours is called a village, and they actually just had their national conference this week. And so our executive director, Hillary, is the vice chair of the Village Movement and Network. And so she was, you know, at the conference presenting. But anyway, there's a website called Village to Village. So if you just Googled Village to Village, it would come up. And on that website, there is a interactive map. So people will call us all the time and say, oh, this is wonderful, but my parents live in, you know, Columbus, Ohio. Is there anything like this there? And so I just say, go on the map and punch in the zip code where they are. And you can see the villages that are close to them and click on their websites and see what they offer. Many villages are different than a Little Help in terms of, you know, how their size and scope and what they do. So I can't promise that it's going to be a replica of what we do, but it might as well check. You know, I've sent lots of people to that map. And then in terms of connecting with us, the easiest way I always think to remember is just to go to our website. So it's a littlehelp.org, and on there you can find, you know, more about what we do. You can see our history. You can apply to become a volunteer or a member online, and you can find our contact information. So you can find me on there and reach out to me via the website. And you'll also see, you know, some of these events that I was talking about at Service Saturday. There's a link for that that shows you all the dates and locations and frequently asked questions. And then there's a tab where you could say, oh, I'd like to do that. You can register. That's the best way. If none of those things work and you're not able to get on the computer, the best way is to call us. And I can provide that number if you think that that's appropriate right now.
If you're okay with that.
So the main office number, which would route you to whatever location mm-hmm. or route you to us, is 720-242-9032. I'll repeat that one more time if people have pencils or pens out. It's 720-242-9032, and that'll bring you to our main receptionist. And if you're lucky, you'll get Gayla live on the phone. If not, you just leave a message and then we'll get back to you with whatever information you need. And we can send out a paper copy of applications if you want, or more materials. You know, there's no pressure. There's no obligation. I will mention that for the older adults that are receiving service, this is a frequent first question, is how much does it cost?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost anything. There's no fee to apply. We do have what's called a pay what you can donation model, basically. So mm-hmm. when you're a member, we say, hey, you know, we're a nonprofit. If you can afford to support us and keep the lights on, we would love for you to make what's in essence kind of like a yearly donation.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, if a member uses all the services that we provide, we can save them thousands and thousands of dollars that they would have to pay out of their pocket for snow shoveling or transportation or weeding mm-hmm. or any of those things. So, you know, it's worthwhile, and you never pay for a service.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't afford anything, you know, if you're living really close to the vest, we'll serve you just the same. So it really, we try to empower the older adults to kind of figure out if they can support us in some way, shape, or form. And then, you know, obviously it would behoove me to say, we always accept donations from everybody, you know, volunteers, mm-hmm. members, donors, people that want to support us. You know, we survive on those type of things, in addition to other revenue streams. But if you feel compelled to help what we're doing and you like what you've heard, please, you know, reach out. There's a donate tab on our website too. There's lots of different ways to give. We'd appreciate your support in whatever way you can.
Oh, I think that that's amazing, because there are so many people out there right now. We watch the news and it's ugly. You know, we listen to commentary and it's ugly, you know, that sort of thing. I think people want to help. And sometimes people are not capable of physically helping or location-wise. I think that's a fabulous way to continue to help, is to give some sort of donation. I mean, there's probably no donation too small. And, you know, when you come to something like that, because every dollar helps. And if you've got some older adults out there that need that help, boy, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you, the thing that excites me is not only the help that they're getting, but this whole intergenerational connection that you're talking about, to me, is such an incredible side benefit to what your organization is doing, that you're getting younger people and older people to communicate. What a concept.
Yeah, I know. It's personal for me for a couple of reasons. Number one, my kiddos have learned the value of service through a little help, amongst other things. And as I mentioned, I think at the onset of our interview, I'm a reformed teacher and administrator. So my previous career for the past two decades prior to Little Help was being a history and political science teacher and then an administrator at schools. And when I was in my administrator role, I was always looking for opportunities for our kids to serve. And it was hard to find things that would take 12, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds. You know, there's mm-hmm. sometimes it's not feasible for them to go out and do certain things, but a little help was always there and available. And so the school that I worked at for a long time does a really robust service learning project with us at A Little Help. And they're seventh graders. That's what they do for the entire year. And so each little homeroom of about eight or nine students has adopted a member for the entire year. And so they go out and do multiple visits. They do phone calls. They make gift baskets. And they just create this sort of really meaningful relationship that's authentic. It's not mm-hmm. forced. And hopefully, you know, it's planting those seeds with the younger folks will help them understand that service should just be part of their life like any other thing. You know, it should just make it routine. And, you know, the other thing you mentioned earlier, too, is what drew me to A Little Help too originally is it's really nonpartisan. You know, everybody has adult, everybody has family that ages. And so it's not a left or right side issue. Everybody needs help, and everybody can give help. So why not? Why not get involved? You know?
And like you say, the benefit to you in doing it just feels good. You go to bed at night feeling really good that you did something good, versus just sitting home watching TV.
I always put out an email at the first of the year, kind of right after the new year, saying, hey, I know you all make, a lot of you make New Year's resolutions. Please consider making service part of one of your resolutions. And the easiest way to do that is sign up with A Little Help so you can do it when you can and on your own time and, you know, do it that fit your interests. So.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it is an amazing, amazing organization. I love seeing something grow up from a little grassroots thing of somebody noticing that somebody's house wasn't being taken care of, all the way up to what you have today. And what you have today and what you are nurturing and carrying on is absolutely beautiful. And I truly appreciate that. And from the bottom of my heart and the listeners, we want to thank you for doing what you're doing. Did you have any final words you would like to say to our listeners before we sign off? What comes from your heart?
Well, first of all, Tom, I just want to thank you for reaching out to me and making this so easy for me to come on and share what we do. And I'd be remiss also not to say thank you to our common connector, Dr. Patty from Mile High Church, who was the one who got us connected and also talked about her sort of relationship to A Little Help in one of your other podcasts that I think people can access. And I hope I've been clear today about what it is we do and why we do it. And I just encourage people to get involved in service, whether it's A Little Help or not. We would love it to be through us, but find an organization that's local to you and that is something that you're passionate about, so you don't feel like it's an obligation. You know, a lot of people go out. One of the organizations we partner with sometimes on some level is Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado, you know, which goes out and does trail maintenance. And so, you know, work at the Dumb Friends League or something. I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, you'll walk away feeling good about yourself and what you've provided. And so don't take my word for it. Just go out and do it. And you'll probably see that, you know, you want to do it more and more. And this sounds trite, but it does really make the world a better place if people, you know, give of themselves and give their time to something other than themselves.
Beats the daylights out of lip service. So, well, one more time, we have alittlehelp.org. And no spaces in there, alittlehelp.org. And go there, check it out. And there's so much there to see, so much there to learn, so much there opportunity-wise for you to donate, to give, to be there, and so on.
I Tom, sorry to interrupt. One other thing I always forget in these presentations is, you know, a lot of people like to see what's going on social media too. We are active on social media. We've got a LinkedIn account. We've got a Instagram account, and we've got a Facebook account. I think I'm missing something, but if you do use those vehicles for finding out about things, please follow us on there, and you'll see, you know, stories every day about people going out to serve and member testimonials and volunteer testimonials and all sorts of things. So, you know, that the website might not always provide. So that's another way to kind of track what we're doing and see the good work that is happening in our community. So website, as you mentioned, alittlehelp.org, alittlehelpco is kind of our social media handle. So if you were to be on Instagram or Facebook, you just type that in and you'd find us there. And like I said, another way to sort of track what we're doing.
Well, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for doing what you do and making other people's lives better and absolutely creating more harmony and intergenerational, no matter what we're doing there. We appreciate that.
Yeah, the thanks is mine, Tom. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thank you so much. And for Take our care. Listeners, please come back next week to hear another story about someone, some organization, an individual who is making a change in the world and making this a better place with more harmony in the world. So come on back, listen to us again. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal Podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.